Okay, there we go.
I have a stupid question. Which page is it within the website that you guys were working on?
Planning the revised contextual strand.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep. Is everybody able to see it?
Yeah.
I figured that we should probably start by definitely getting our goal statement and talking about our methodology, because it probably doesn't make sense to talk too much detail about context unless we are all agreed on our methodology, and that we have a better feel for what we want to do. For the goal statement, we really didn't put much in there. It's Jackie's, to assess if students are more likely to question sampling methods, and then I slightly modified it. But does anybody have any comments on the goal statement?
Did we decide we didn't like the to question? Because in there, when I was doing the conference notes last night, there was a discussion about whether we liked the to question sampling methods last time.
Hey guys, it's me, it's Holly Lynn.
Hey,
Holly
Lynn.
Sorry,
Holly
I'm late.
Say that again, Lee.
We had discussed whether we liked the idea of to question sampling methods, because I guess it implied that there's always a problem with the sample and that it needs to be questioned. There was just discussion when I was doing the notes last night. I was listening to last time's conference call, and we had a discussion about whether we liked that phrasing, because it sort of implies that students, that every single sample we would give them, they need to question, and that it would always be bad samples and not. I mean, it says in the, we've got whether good or bad samples. I'm just asking, because that was the discussion that we had last time, and I didn't know if we had resolved that or if we're okay with that. Because if it's a good sample, we don't necessarily need them to question it. Does that make sense?
Go ahead.
I was just wondering if the phrase is analyze.
Yeah, I would be fine with that, because I think you can, you know, like recognizing when something is good is, good, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Recognizing when you have a good sampling design is still something valuable, so we'll make sure to include some of those in there. So I guess analyze might be a more appropriate term then.
Okay. I mean, I know we've got another statement to, or if this ends up being one of our goals, I just wanted to bring that up. So.
I do have one question about the modified goal. So determine the degree to which students are able to put aside their personal experiences and prior beliefs. How would we operationalize that? Like, how would we figure out degrees?
I was just looking at that. I'm like, that's probably not easily measurable. But that's what we're looking to determine, if students are able to put aside their personal experiences and prior beliefs. I guess I was thinking the degree to which, if it's something that they have a really strong feeling about, they're probably going to be less able to put aside those prior beliefs, as opposed to something they maybe have an idea about that they could be swayed either way.
I agree with that, because we're less likely to see a yes-no situation than a degree.
Right, so perhaps the phrasing of a question is something about how do students' prior beliefs impact their ability to blah, 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 blah.
So how do students' prior beliefs impact their ability to assess the ability of a sample to be generalized to a larger population? If I'm looking at the second sentence, the second goal.
That might work. I'm desperately trying to get onto Google right now. I'm having trouble with my wireless, so I can't see what you guys are writing.
As you said, is somebody editing as we're editing this?
I have it up. If I edit, though, you won't be able to see it as I type, will you?
Well, I think if we refresh after you save it, we might be able to. No, but no, it's not like a interactive.
Right,
chat,
it's not like Google Docs, because I think in Google Docs you can see it interactive.
You can or you can't?
I think you can.
Oh, really?
In Google Docs, I think you can.
Right.
But I don't think that applies here.
Oh. Oh, well, shoot.
So to... Wow, my brain is like Swiss cheese. I just lost it already. All right, I saved. Can you guys see it?
Refresh. Shoot.
Not yet.
No, neither do I. Maybe if I log out.
Publish before we.
I did publish.
Oh.
Okay, we sign back in. Hmm. Maybe it takes longer for it to update than just a couple of...
Go ahead and read what you what did you write, though?
To assess if students are able to put aside their personal experiences and prior beliefs to determine the ability of a sample to be generalized to a larger population.
That's the goal statement.
That was what I wrote for the goal statement, yeah.
Okay.
Discussion?
Did we want to get the word how in there somewhere? I thought I heard how students.
I totally lost the original sentence.
I think I said something like, how do students' prior beliefs.
Okay.
Impact their ability to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think we have like an open-ended
right
response.
Okay.
Yeah, anytime that my students are trying to ask something that's not necessarily directly measurable like that, you know, what is the nature of or how do kind of questions lead to being able to use and develop some other kind of lens to look through that for a construct that's not easily measurable.
Okay, so how do students' prior beliefs impact the ability to determine the ability of a sample to be generalized to a larger population?
Maybe impact their ability? Instead of the ability, their ability? Or a student's ability.
How do students' prior beliefs impact their ability?
Sorry, if that's
really... Do we need to put aside their personal experiences and prior beliefs to determine the ability of a sample, or to determine if a sample can be generalized to a larger population?
So just something about the word prior. So if you say prior beliefs, do you mean you don't care what they think currently? Or is it prior experiences and beliefs? So, you know, their own personal experiences with different, within different contexts can certainly affect it. But it's not really their prior beliefs. It's really what they believe now.
Yeah, I think we mean, like, how prior experience have kind of influenced now, how they look at the situation.
Uh-huh.
So how about... How do students' personal experiences impact their ability to determine if a sample can be generalized to a larger population?
Yeah, maybe personal experiences within context, problem context, because you're going to pick certain contexts. And so one of the things you'll be looking at will be the specific context that you're that are in the problems that you're going to pose.
How do students' personal experiences with the contextual matter of a problem impact their ability to determine if a sample can be generalized to a larger population?
That's a nice wording.
Yeah.
I think that gets specific to, you know, how their experiences with the specific matter in the problem.
Lee?
Yeah.
In the Google group is telling me it can't save. It has a big red can't save at the top. What do I do? Oh, and now it's changed and said save. So never mind. I guess whatever the problem was, it's resolved.
Yeah, I've been trying to reload. You know, maybe I'll just stop trying to reload the page because I've been trying to reload it so I can see what's going on, and maybe I'm messing stuff up. So I'll just stop that.
Oh, yeah, I wonder if maybe if you can't save it if somebody else is trying to access it or something?
Yeah, well, especially since I'm technically the group owner or something. I'm wondering if maybe me in particular is a problem. My question was just going to be, do we not, because we were talking about experiences, does that get at the, because I think beliefs do come into it as well.
Uh-huh.
Do we want to get that in there somehow? You know, when you're talking about, you know, politics, I mean, if we go with those kind of contexts with, like, politics and abortion, I mean, yeah, there's experience. There's also, I mean, beliefs
right.
are part of it.
So prior experiences with and beliefs about?
That's exactly what I just said. A lot of students' personal experiences with and beliefs about the contextual matter of a problem impact their ability to determine if a sample can be generalized to a larger population.
I like that.
Yeah.
Jackie?
Yes.
You good?
Yep, I was watching versus. I can actually see the page.
You keep seeing me change it.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
I basically had to log out and log back in, and I could see it.
Huh.
Hmm.
Now it says can't save again. I don't know what the deal is.
Are you on, Jackie, are you on edit, or are you just?
Oh, no, I mean, I wasn't seeing her type literally.
Oh, I had the updated
version.
Yeah, no, that's what happened to me. I logged out, like, literally closed my web browser and then logged back in, and I could see the second version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured that would be kind of a pain to keep doing that, so I gave up. Okay.
All right. So, modified goal, how do students' personal experiences with and beliefs about the contextual matter of a problem impact their ability to determine if a sample can be generalized to a larger population? Any further discussion?
I like that, but I think we've lost the part about can they then put those prior beliefs and associations aside? You see what I mean?
Yeah, so it might be that is that you may, I mean, oftentimes you have one like larger goal or larger question, and then you have several sub very specific things. And I agree with Felicity that one that was Felicity, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I sometimes have trouble telling y'all's voices apart. You know, one specific question being about you know, are they able to put those aside. But I think that's, I kind of think that it's part of how it impacts, because if the answer is no, then they're putting it aside. Yeah?
So you say it's sort of implied in the how to.
Maybe,
how
but I think it might be worth explicitly having it as a sub.
Mm.
So are students able to put aside their personal experiences with and beliefs about the contextual matter of a problem to assess how good or bad a sample is? As a sub-goal? Or whatever you would call it?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too.
It's really poor grammar, but fix the grammar later.
Clean up the grammar, yeah, later.
Not that any of us can probably tell anyway.
Yeah, don't look at my dissertation.
Do we want to set other sub goals since we're talking about some goals at the moment?
them.
I feel like we need something qualitative about their reasons for their initial misconception.
How so? Like, you mean, I mean, one thing we had talked about was trying to assess their prior beliefs through maybe like a survey or something. Do you want something
exactly.
That's more directly connected to the sampling question?
Yeah. That's basically what I'm thinking is I would think if we got into this, we'd also want to know, you know, what was it that they were thinking and then see if, you know, maybe some particular prior beliefs are more associated with inability to judge things correctly or learn. But I wouldn't get into that level of detail in the goal. So something about qualitative assessment of the prior misconceptions.
Is it their misconceptions, though?
Sorry?
But if we're going to do the opinion survey, that was to get a feel for how strongly they felt about various topics. It wasn't really to see where they were in terms of their knowledge about samples and what's good, what's bad, right, Jackie? That was your thinking of the...
Yeah, I was trying to find more of just, like, you know, what their opinion, so, you know, like, kind of like, you know, which do you prefer more, Pepsi or Coke kind of thing, and that way there's
right.
Not really a misconception that the person
is
wrong.
Why do you prefer this?
So, Felicity, you're not talking about their misconceptions with respect to the idea of what a sample is, what constitutes a good sample versus a bad sample?
I would basically think of it as, I mean, I thought we'd said in the opinion survey that after each question we'd ask something like, why do you feel this way, or what makes you, what are you thinking about kind of thing.
I guess I didn't expect that to be in the opinion survey because I think kind of going with what Lee says on there, you know, about worried about how some of them might answer some of the questions. If you ask them, like, okay, are you pro
That's
or
right,
against
doing, like,
abortion, asking yeah. them to explain why I think is going to be even harder.
Yeah, good point. Does that get at our current sub-aim? Like, the opinion survey doesn't really measure whether they can put that aside.
So I think the opinion survey is really just kind of getting an idea of how they feel that way when we actually ask them the things later. You know, if we find out, you know, that people prefer Pepsi to Coke and they were one of the people that thought Coke was better, if that's the reason why they have an issue with it.
I was thinking the opinion survey, too, was kind of to give us an idea of, you know, we have kind of an assumption of what we think will be hot-button issues with our students, but was also to kind of get a feel of, you know, we think that, I don't know, you know, maybe, I mean, somebody listed Pepsi Coke as something that would be a strong belief, but maybe students really don't feel strongly one way or another about Pepsi and Coke, and we could get a feel for that from the opinion survey.
Yeah,
you know,
I thought the same thing, that you guys were using it for those two purposes of identifying which topics would be good to absolutely include on the later questionnaire, and to be able to use the information you got on the opinion survey to be able to track, okay, they feel this way about this topic, and to be able to then relate that to how they answer on the later questionnaire.
You know,
so how can we get in the qualitative piece that Felicity's talking about? I'm not sure that I still completely understand that
piece. I'm not
sure
I'm agreeing with myself anymore either. But I'm almost feeling like with the opinion survey, what we're really doing is providing different distractors in the different questions, which is a little bit different than measuring the degree to which people can or can't look past the context to assess the sampling.
So, Felicity, are you talking about we should know, could we use the survey to get a feel for how strongly they feel and then see if there's any association between the strength of their beliefs and their answers. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, we could do that. I don't know. I mean, we're sort of doing a yes-no whether they're correct or not, I'm assuming.
For the survey?
For the survey.
I thought we were going to do something like, I guess we didn't talk about it. I had pictured something with a number scale. Where if they were kind of neutral on the idea, then they would be in the middle. Where, and if they felt really strongly, they would be up near 5 or 1 or something like that.
And I guess where I'm coming from is that I had pictured a follow-up question of your reasons for your response.
What was everybody else thinking about the survey?
I guess I was thinking that the follow-up questions was more for when we actually had sampling methods and that kind of stuff in it. Sort of the explanation being kind of the when we actually were trying to assess whether or not they thought it was a good sample, like that would be multiple choice, and that's where they would explain why.
Yeah, so just I think with the kind of opinion survey, you know, if it's on a Likert scale kind of approach, it's like, you know, how strongly do you agree or disagree with these kinds of statements, or I think you want their kind of gut reaction to each question, and maybe asking them, you know, to do their gut reaction and then explain it, may have them be thinking about that context too much before they move on to the next one.
That's a good point.
Whereas, you know, you just ask a series of, you know, 10 to 12 questions, you just want them to rank them.
Yeah, I actually think that might be also true of having a follow-up multiple choice.
Right, but I think with the multiple choice one, that is the main place where they're going to be able to see how whether or not somebody's prior experiences and beliefs really are affecting the sample. So for example, if somebody says yes, I like Coke on the pre-opinion survey, and then in a multiple choice exam, you know, tends to pick something that is biased towards Coke, we can't assume that Coke is the reason. They may have had a very different kind of reason for picking the choice that, you know, that was biased towards Coke or whatever.
See, that's why I was thinking of free text there instead of multiple choice, because I'm worried that the distractors, meaning the other answers in the multiple choice, might give the game away. And with free text, we could go in and code them to those afterwards.
Right.
Did we say we were doing multiple choice for the actual questions?
I don't think we decided that definitely, but that was one idea that was passed around.
Yeah. I think somebody had suggested multiple choice. Somebody suggested multiple choice, but then an open-ended, you know, why?
With open response. Yep.
Yeah. And then somebody had suggested interviews. I don't think we decided on anything.
And I think I've gotten us off topic a little bit. I apologize.
Yeah.
Well, and we're moving on to methodology anyway, but are there any other sub-goals that we want to get down at this point?
What's the sub-goal we have so far?
Are students able to put aside their personal beliefs with and beliefs about the contextual matter of a problem to assess how good or bad a sample is? Do the strengths of their beliefs impact the degree to which, do the strengths of their experiences and beliefs or something like that? Are there ways that we can write a sub-goal that addresses the strength of?
If you're using Likert scale things, there may be some strengthness to.
Yeah, that was going to be
that measure.
My question is whether we could measure the strength of their beliefs. But yeah, Hollywood, that's a good point.
Well, we can try writing something, and we can go back and modify it. So those the strengths? Can I use, do you think you can use prior beliefs here? Or should I guess I should stick with the same phrasing. You guys who have done this before? Should I stick with the same phrasing? The personal experiences with and beliefs about?
Yeah, I think that's probably a better way to do it.
So how about the strengths of the student's beliefs about the contextual matter of a problem influence their ability to assess how good or bad the sample is? Does the strength of the student's beliefs about the contextual matter of a problem influence their ability to assess how good or bad a sample is?
Yeah. I think that sounds fine.
Are there any other sub-goals at this point? I see that if you guys want to see if you can get up the...
I guess for me, I think that's harder to think of sub-goals until we actually know what methodology we're going to do.
Okay. Anything else about goals before we move on to methodology then? Okay, so methodology, since we said that we wanted to start with the opinion survey, why don't we spend a little bit more time talking about that? What do people think about the Likert scale idea?
I think it would probably accomplish its goal here. I'm not always a huge fan of them, but they're probably still the best way to get at the information we want to know.
When do you think we should give the opinion survey? Is this something that we should do now, not just to get an idea of what topics are going to be hot topics, and then we should do it again when we actually do our study?
I think it's definitely something you want to pilot. And yes, and you would do it at the beginning of the semester in which you're going to actually collect your data.
I was going to say, does everybody have like a time in their semester when they sort of talk about polls and, you know, maybe we could sort of, I mean, is that near the beginning of the semester for everyone? Could that sort of fit in as part of, so it doesn't seem so much like it's a separate thing that's sort of odd and out of place?
Well, in a normal semester, yes. Obviously, if we're going to try to do it this spring, I'm already done with that.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying when we did this for real, quote unquote, I was just thinking we could kind of make this part of whatever section, you know, when we talk about polls. It could sort of be, you know, part of our introduction to the idea of polling and, you know, the Likert scale, and that way it wouldn't seem quite so odd that we were just handing out this very odd assorted list of opinion questions. Yeah, because I know my students would be kind of like, okay, why are they asking this very odd assorted list of questions?
I think our students are going to think everything we do is odd on some level.
Well, all right, you have a point there, but...
Yeah, we have... We usually do some type of background survey, so I can just modify some of the questions on that or add to it. So I think I'll have a spot.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I always hand out and collect data on the first day of class because then we use it later throughout the semester, so I would just include it in that. I actually don't do sampling methods and polling and stuff until after the fourth week of the semester because our book starts with p-values and things like that, introduces them, and then it goes back, so. So Likert scale opinion survey at the start of the semester.
I know this is something we have to answer right now, but I haven't really ever done anything with a Likert scale myself. How do you figure out how many numbers to put? Like 1 through 5 versus 1 through 7?
I think one of the benefits, and I know that I have read some papers, although not recently, about benefits of, you know, how many numbers to have on your scale. But one thing that I like about doing something like six is that they can't land on exactly neutral.
I like that a lot.
So they've got to be one way or the other, slightly.
Okay. Anything else that we need to talk about with the opinion survey? For piloting it this semester, would we just be seeing what topics are hot topics? Is that what you guys are thinking? I'm just wondering how I explain it to my students if I give it out now.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing, how I'm going to explain this opinion survey that just pops up in the middle of probability.
Well, could we pilot in a summer session?
I think we could. It's just we're starting to close in then on when does everybody's summer session start?
End of May.
20-something.
Beginning of June.
I think it's the 24th or 25th we start.
Unfortunately, I think Capital's summer session, the statistics class is actually going to be in the second module, which is not going to start till like middle of July. So I would be in a little bit of trouble. But it doesn't have to be at every school for piloting, I'm sure.
Do we want to wait that long? Because do we want to pilot some of our actual questions over the summer? And if we're going to use the opinion survey initially to see what, in fact, will evoke strong beliefs in the current population of students, current generation of students, shouldn't we do the opinion survey this semester?
I mean, if you're not, if you're really just using it to see kind of to get some information about the instrument and to also gain some information about, you know, with that kind of age and population, what topics are really hot. I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me like you could, if it takes less than 10 minutes for them to take the survey, you know, offer them 1 point extra credit on a homework if they go to SurveyMonkey and fill out this survey.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be that connected with class.
Yeah.
You know, you can. I think you could tell them that you're trying to plan a study for future semesters and blah blah blah.
Okay.
And that's one idea.
That's a good idea. Has anybody used SurveyMonkey?
I have.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, I think Google has a survey tool in it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised. Google has everything. But SurveyMonkey is up to a certain size. It's a free software where you just go in and you type in the questions and the answer choices, and then it will put the survey for you, and it'll give you a link that you can send to people.
It has a limit on the number of surveys that can be completed per month. And I don't remember how high that is.
Right. I mean, I have a survey account through the Friday Institute. So for a, you know, for, I mean, this is not exactly a Friday Institute. So Hurley knows what that is. But I mean, this is not exactly a Friday Institute thing. But for a short-term survey, I think that nobody would have a problem with me posting a survey there. And then it has no limits. But I really do think that Google has a survey tool. But anyway, I think that's all about it. I mean, I think that's about the mechanism of giving the survey.
Wait.
You can tackle
that. Oh, no.
Now it told me editing session terminated.
Oh, no. I didn't do anything, I swear.
I have no idea.
I just refreshed, and I've got modified goal, sub-goal, sub-goal. So,
and not the stuff that I was typing about the opinion survey, or is that there?
Oh, no, opinion survey, Likert scale at the start of the semester, scale 1 to 6, under where I had made a comment. That's the last thing I see.
Okay, I'll
so
go back
stuff
in.
Stuff beyond that?
In a little bit, but that's all right. Because it will be in our recording, so.
Yeah.
As a strange question about our opinion survey, since some of our goal is to have some neutral problems, are we actually going to try to assess that they really are neutral? Or are we just going to assume they are?
This is my impression from what we're talking about. It sounds like we have kind of two different opinion surveys we're talking about. We're talking about one that we actually use in our study itself to assess where the sample that we have, our current students, how they feel about certain topics, but it sounds like we need another one doing the SurveyMonkey or whatever to see if we're on target with what we think are actually hot topics and neutral, and I think that one we could try to assess neutrality. That's my opinion. Now, what do you guys think?
I'm sorry, say that again. So we need two different surveys.
I said, based on what we've been talking about, it sounds like we need a survey that we can have our students right now fill out on SurveyMonkey or whatever, just to determine if we actually know what the topics that will evoke strong beliefs are, what the hot topics are.
Okay.
And what may be neutral, what they may not care about. But then we needed an actual survey. Once we pick the topics that we're going to include in our study, we would need an actual survey to use in the study to give to the students at the start of the semester.
I see what you're saying. Okay. So when we actually do this, we'd have a different opinion survey using what we discovered from the first survey.
Yes.
To assess how the particular students in the study feel about the topics that we pick, whether they're strong feelings, neutral feelings, et cetera.
Yes. So just use the first survey to pick the topics that we're going to actually write questions about.
Okay.
And then the second survey would actually go with the study.
So yeah, so if we end up picking politics, even if that is a hot button issue, we're still going to have students who feel very strongly about it and some students who are neutral students.
Yes.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Carla, Jackie, what do you guys think?
And I guess the idea of it to me sounds fine. I'm just trying to figure out how you assess neutral questions on a Likert scale.
Go ahead.
Like, how do you ask them on a dice problem to see how strongly they feel about dice? And I'm just trying to think off the
what
top
do you
of
think
head.
Of Vegas? I don't know.
You're like where your kind of your goal is at, that you think it's neutral. So,
I see what you. Okay. How do you assess if someone has strong someone does not have strong feelings about something?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think the dice would count though, because one of the things that we talked about was giving them a problem where there was no context. Versus a problem where there is a context. So wouldn't the dice and the urn problems, wouldn't those fall into the no context?
I guess I didn't realize that we were going to give them without context problems.
Say that again?
I didn't realize we were going to give them just numbers and no context.
I thought that was why we had the dice and the urn problem listed.
Well, is it no context, or is it the idea of a context that we don't expect them to have?
No real-world context.
Yeah. I think we talked about both, and I'm not sure that we'd necessarily come to a consensus on... I think we talked about strong context versus neutral context having sort of the same statistical issue. But then, yeah, I think we have talked separately about real-world contexts versus because there was a study that we looked at somewhere along the way where it was real-world context versus dice earn type of context, which was considered,
yeah,
you know, mathematical context, no
yeah.
real-world type of idea. And so, yeah, that's a really good point, is that those two things don't necessarily quite line up, necessarily. Or maybe they do. I don't know.
Well, you could probably... That's a good question. I wonder if there is a degree of difference you could kind of tease out by having them both. Because the example, I remember the article that I think you're referring to, Lee, was making the point that when, you know, we talk about how students have misconceptions of ideas, particularly probabilistic ideas, but you could ask them basically the same question one time in a real-world context and one time not, and they would get it in the kind of stochastic context sense, but the real-world scenario would kind of screw them up, which is actually, like, there have been arguments both ways for and against that, sometimes where the real-world scenario can actually elucidate what's being asked and sometimes where it obscures it. So I think that's what we were thinking about there, whereas neutral, it still has that real-world context, but we just wouldn't expect them to be distracted by it.
Yeah, some of these examples made toward the bottom of, you know, life cycles of insects or resistance of wires, things that are real-world that they probably don't have strong feelings about one way or another.
Or they don't know enough about them to have any feelings or have experiences with them.
Yeah. So we expect that they would more likely go focus on the statistical sample and the concept.
Well, which means that it may be in the Likert, then you do want an option that doesn't necessarily say neutral, but says you know, no experience with, you know, not enough experience to form a to form an opinion kind of answer. I don't know how to phrase that, but to give them the option to say, you know, I have no idea what this question is asking.
Basically, an ignorant option.
Right. I've never heard of Pepsi or Coke. What?
Or allow write-ins, you know, Dr. Pepper.
Right.
We'll probably get some of those whether we allow them or not.
Well, yeah, you got a point there.
I guess I was thinking that all the problems we're going to have, like, I guess, a real-life context. I guess maybe that might have been part of my issue. Whether
and,
or not
know,
they
maybe...
knew anything about it.
But you can see if they... Wouldn't the Likert scale, if we go from 1 to 6 or 1 to whatever, I mean, if 5 be that they feel really strongly, 1 be that they could care less, wouldn't that help us determine what you're getting at, Jackie?
Yeah, so it's almost like we're looking for some problems, we're looking for a lot of strong opinion, and for some problems, we're not. I think if we do have two separate surveys, like Tara was suggesting, one this semester where we just try and decide kind of is our beat correct? Do we understand what students would feel strongly about versus what they didn't? Then I think if you were to have a single scale that went from no opinion up to strong opinion, then we could include both the strong beliefs and the neutral categories, and the one in between, the opinionated but maybe not as strong. And so we'd literally be looking at kind of average ratings or proportions of people who gave each rating and trying to decide, do the neutral ones really have a higher proportion of no opinion answers? Do the opinionated ones really have a higher proportion of opinionated answers? Those types of things. And then I think when it comes time... Once we get that set, when it comes time to doing the survey to assess their prior beliefs for research, then I think you don't want necessarily just no opinion to strong opinion, because some of these things there's opposites. Like politics, I wouldn't just want to know, are they political? I would kind of want to know, are they a Republican or are they a Democrat? Because that may then influence what they think about the survey. So there, I think you would just include those categories that were the strong belief categories, and you'd have the range of what the beliefs could be.
Yeah.
Whereas you wouldn't need to probably include the neutral ones in that second survey. But we can do a first survey to kind of confirm they are neutral like we thought they were. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think
that's
it does. So once we do the initial survey, what are we thinking about for the questions that we develop? Not for the opinion survey, but the actual study itself. All context, like Jackie was saying.
Well, what if we included all context and we found that context had no effect? Could it be the case that context is acting like we expect it to, but the neutral scenarios confuse them? Or just the wording confuses them in general, the word problems confuse them in general?
Well, I think that's why we want to have the open-ended response there, because then we can hopefully discern exactly why they respond in the way that they do, whether it's confusion from the question or it's they're actually picking their answer based on their strong feelings, or they're picking it. I think that'll help with that.
Do we need the multiple choice? Can we just give them the problem and ask them if the results could be generalized? Explain.
Yeah, I think that
would be
fine.
Would that be too hard?
No, I think that would be fine. I think certainly for an initial exploratory study, that could provide a lot of insight.
Yeah, I think it's really going to help actually try and write a question.
I've been sitting here doing a Google search on opinion surveys and current topic surveys and stuff like that, and I've certainly found lots of websites that have, you know, big companies that have done surveys that, you know, when I go in and look at their documents, they've got some interesting questions on them.
That's good.
Could you send us some of those links?
I can, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I made the note at the bottom of the Google groups, but I think most of you friends with Michelle Everson on, those of you who are on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you should. She posts lots of real life. Now, it's not all opinion surveys, but she just posts lots of studies and things that she finds that have statistical basis to them. And she finds some really great stuff. So I know I've used some of the articles and things that she's found in my classes. And she like posts like 2 or 3 articles per day, it seems like. So, and she has a group, Statistics Instructors Lost on Facebook or something.
Statistics Instructors Avoiding Grading.
Statistics Instructors Lost on Facebook, I think, is the name of the group.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, and I just thought that, you know, maybe if we don't actually, you know, we may not use, like, the studies exactly the way they are, but they might provide ideas for questions or things that we could adapt a little bit. One of the ones that I looked at was, and I put a star next to it, there was something that came out on Science Daily about how men lie on dates more than females do. I thought that might be something that people would have strong opinions about. So, you know, we might be able to somehow, you know, use that. Just because I have trouble coming up with stuff. I'm not that creative. So I just thought that particular resource would, you know, I know we want to try and use perhaps real life studies, or I don't know, maybe we don't, I don't know if we want to try and use like actual results, or if we want to take stuff and adapt it to our purposes.
Right. Chance Magazine may also have.
And the Chance Wiki just got moved, so that should be now under the CauseWeb auspices. I don't know where, but...
So I'm going to start a new page called Resources for Context Opinions or something like that.
Would it be Chance News?
Might be. Let me...
I just went to the CauseWeb page and searched Chance.
Okay.
It looks like
probably
the URL is still the main one.
Actually, he might be online. I can ask him. Of course, my computer's not cooperating. Of course it's not. Why would it cooperate? Oh, hey, there's a link called Chance News. That is probably it. Chance News reviews current issues in the news that use probability or statistical concepts. That seems like something we might be able to use.
Yeah, and then you can go to the wiki page.
And there was just a webinar yesterday or Tuesday that talked about how to use this. So if you go to the CAUSE page and go to the Teaching and Learning webinar series, let's see, who was it that did it? Did anybody here attend it?
No. Oh, Daylene Stangle from Duke University?
Yeah.
Yes, I actually attended that, and I asked her a question on you all's behalf at the end of the talk, but I didn't get any answer that I thought was useful.
Yeah.
Well, I asked her, you know, because she was using all these different contexts from the Chance Magazine in her class, and I said, so... Do you find any of these contexts to be, more troublesome for the students or any impact on the way that they reason? And basically she just said, well, I just try to use a variety of contexts, so I appeal to everybody. And when I really tried to kind of push her on it, she wasn't understanding what I was asking or really didn't have enough information to even answer it.
Well, and I just noticed that next month's Teaching and Learning webinar is using and contributing to the Chance News Wiki with Jean Albert and Bill Peterson from Middlebury College. So if you want to listen to the recording from Tuesday and sign up for the one next month, if you're at all interested, I'm not at all advertising. I do the activity webinar, so I'm not advertising for mine.
That's no conflict of interest.
None whatsoever.
Well, yeah, I think both of those things. I certainly think Michelle's information, the Chance News, would be a good place to go to for studies. Probably just doing some random Google searching on, like, other topics that we can't find. Like, other topics, if we can't find a study on CAUSE or through Michelle, then... we can probably just Google search and find some things. So then should we turn our attention next time to trying to track down particular examples and write the question? Because we kind of need, so we want to know, does context affect students' ability to reason? So we need studies about each topic that show, ideally that would show, good sampling methods and bad sampling methods on the same topic. So maybe what we can do is find a study and then tinker with it a little if we need to.
Well, yeah, because we need to have the opinion survey, because we need to do that quickly. But we also probably should try to write... Maybe each of us try to write a question.
Yeah.
Are you guys which survey are you writing questions for?
Well, I think we're doing two. We need to do the opinion survey to get an idea of what the hot topics are. So that's just that Likert scale.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to write questions for that. And maybe we can all work on that together on Google Groups.
Is that really questions, or can we kind of, I kind of imagine just taking the lists that we already have here and just reforming those so that it would make sense with a Likert scale, like rate your strength of opinion for each of the following topics. And then it would just be assumed, it would basically just be pulling, taking this bulleted list and putting it next to the Likert scale, right? So that hopefully shouldn't be too hard.
Do you think students would be confused, though, about the strength of the opinion? Like, right, if we ask them for the Pepsi Coke, strength of opinion of what?
Yeah, it seems like you would more want to say a question and have them agree or disagree.
But then does that get at neutral?
Well, if they pick one
so
in the
you
middle,
could just say something like, do you have an opinion about which soft drink, Pepsi or Coke, is better? And
right.
then the Likert scale would range from no opinion, or you could have like an I don't understand, no opinion, all the way up to strong opinion.
Right.
Well, okay. Yeah, what I was thinking was sort of like where it says gender-based, boys are better at math. We could just make a series of statements where it goes one way or the other. Boys are better at math, where you have sort of strongly disagree versus strongly agree. That was what I was thinking. Or, you know, Pepsi is better than Coke.
I think that was great for the ones that we expect to have opinions, that's where the neutral ones are harder.
But if they, okay, I was thinking if they had no opinion, they would then go towards the center.
But, I mean, how would you write a statement about life cycles of insects? Because it really isn't, like, an opinion.
Well, okay.
Like, I can't think of the two sides, we'll put it that way, to have that middle.
Insects have, I have no idea. You have a good point. I mean, you know, but that was,
So would it be easier for us to actually, and since there's enough of us, would it be okay to create two different surveys, one that's trying to get at the opinion one so we can have the two-sided, and one that's neutral, and we could ask different classes to do different ones? That way we can have different Likert scales on them without it being confusing.
Say that again?
Like have for the ones that we think have opinions, sort of like Lee was saying, you know, Pepsi is better than Coke, you know, from strongly disagree up to strongly agree for those types of questions. But then having a separate survey kind of about the neutral where Herlo is saying where, you know, let one be that they have really no strong opinion all the way up to the strong opinion just so we can make sure that they are really neutral.
Mm. Well, I think we could still, I mean, we could still kind of go with Harlow's idea and maybe just maybe rephrase my questions, you know. Maybe we could just say something, one soft drink is better than the other. Or I don't know. I just want to make sure that this, the questions are, that was why I just said we needed to make a document to actually just write out the questions and make sure that we're all clear and they're good for the students.
Yeah.
That was just. I mean, I think we should try to keep it all in one survey, just so this doesn't get too complicated.
You can use two different scales in the same survey, though, if you need to. I think as long as there's a clear distinction between them. Like, you might just put one on one side of the paper and the other on the other side of the paper, so that they...
Oh, well, with SurveyMonkey, I think you can, like, do a new screen, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that then, yeah, so that can all of us have our students do this on SurveyMonkey? Do some of us need to use paper?
That is also a good point. I don't even know if I can use SurveyMonkey. I have no idea.
All they need is access to a website.
Oh, then I should be okay.
And actually, Hurley, even if we don't want to use SurveyMonkey, NC State has a free survey tool.
Oh, does it?
And if it's just doing simple Likert scale kind of things, it's pretty easy to use. I can send you that link.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Capital has some, I don't know if it's SurveyMonkey, but I think we do have some sort of survey access tool. I don't know what it is, but I'll find out.
We use SurveyMonkey at my college.
Yeah.
happening.
I mean, one of the really nice things about SurveyMonkey is there's no data entry, which is a beautiful thing, especially if you don't have a small army of grad students to help you out.
Yeah, some of us don't have small armies of grad students.
Hey, you guys, I apologize, but I'm going to have to get off for my next meeting.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah, it's already past 3.
Yeah, it is.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, yeah, we'll send you an update on what we finalize.
Fabulous. Bye.
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 All right, so then let's just start. Why don't we try and do another quick meeting, another like 2 week or so time period, and we'll just work on the initial opinion survey. We can try out a few questions. We can try out a few scales and kind of decide which one looks most promising and then just start going through the list. And then we can touch base and maybe even be a little flexible now that we know that Jean can sometimes book things on a few hours' notice. Maybe we can even be a little flexible about whether we talk again in 1 week versus 2 or something along those lines. Like if it turns out to be fairly easy, maybe we can get back together in a week and just all say, or maybe even via email, and just all say, hey, that's great. Now let's move on to step 2, which is looking for actual studies and trying to come up with the actual contextual questions, not just the opinion questions. What do you guys think of that?
I think that's good.
Yeah, really. So I think what I just said was start by just doing the survey, and then we'll decide from there, depending on how long that takes us, where to go. Just doing the opinion survey.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So 25th, because you said you're out of town next week, right, Hella?
My spring break is next week. I'll be back towards the end of the week, like after Wednesday. So I could, in theory, do something then. Sorry, trying to look at my calendar overall. It's March, not May. I know I'm going to have to come to work on Thursday because we're interviewing a job candidate Thursday the 18th. So I could do something a week from today. I could also potentially do something on the 25th.
Okay. I can do either. Our spring break's next week also, but I'll be here. What about you guys?
Well, I'm good as long as it's 2 o'clock or later. do we want to say tentatively the 18th? And then just kind of see how much work we can get done in the next week. See how this goes.
Want to keep it right at 2.
That sounds fine with me. I don't know.
That works for me.
That works for me.
Okay, so 2 p.m., 18th. Do we want to leave me in charge of organizing the call, or do we want to shift everything? That doesn't
Would
sound
like
a vote of
shift?
Confidence.
No, I have confidence in you. I think you'll be fine.
But I mean, this is the next one, so do we want to shift everybody?
Might as well, just to keep things fair so Hurla doesn't have to keep recording.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah,
so
no, the notes
shift.
Kind of,
because it's really that person that would have the extra work, really.
Yeah, the note recorder does kind of...
Yeah.
Get the short end of the stick there. All right, so that means I would be the synthesizer...
I would
be the organizer.
I would organize.
And then, okay, so Jackie, you would be the recorder?
Yeah.
And then Tara, you would be the, what's the other role?
I have Tara as the synthesizer, and Lee, you're the moderator.
Oh, I'm the moderator. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Okay. So I will definitely, this is Holly Lynn, I will definitely be, I'm at a conference next week, but hopefully either Felicity or Randy will be able to join you guys.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tara.
Do you think when we do the opinion survey, or should we see if we can separate the data out based on the college that students are coming from? See if there's a difference.
I think that you should have some demographic kind of questions at the beginning. So, you know, what college are you enrolled in? You know, since you know there's only certain choices, you know, you can make that a pull down menu that they selected. And,
okay.
You know, what is your gender? What is your age? I think there should be just a few demographics.
Maybe what major, too.
Right.
Because I have quite a mix in my stat classes, so that
and maybe
be
not necessarily ask for a specific major, but maybe kind of broad areas.
So like arts and sciences versus
right, versus engineering versus
or professional
education.
Okay.
Social sciences, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we should probably include that if we're going to have a new Google page where we're working on the survey questions. We should probably list some of the broad areas that we are seeing our students from. Like, I get a huge number of criminal justice students. We get nursing students, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Thursday the 18th at 2, and we'll have a new Google page. Is that what we're going to work, or are we going to continue working in this one?
So I started a new page on resources for context opinions for the survey. You could morph that into, you know, other stuff about the survey if you wanted to.
Okay.
I'm good with whatever you guys just said. What did I just do? Okay.
Hi.
I just apparently deleted something on my computer. Never mind.
I updated a little bit in the page as we were talking today. So the modified goals there, the sub-goals are there, and then I wrote some notes about the opinion surveys. So there's a little bit extra there.
I vote for, you know, we just put together a new page. I kind of like things in small chunks so I know exactly where everything is. So I say we just start a new page that's even separate from the resources because that could be really useful when we get to studies and things. So I would just start a new page that's
like the opinion survey.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Where we just start to write down the questions.
Okay.
Now, we said we were tentative for the 18th, so when would be a good time to touch base to find out if we definitely need that or not? Like, I suppose one thing I could do is just try setting it up with Jean, and then we can touch base on, like, Wednesday and decide if we need it or if we can cancel.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a good idea. Just if we're all very overwhelmed on, you know, nobody's had a chance to look at it by Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We can kind of call Audible there and say, all right, no, we really need another week to look at this.
When are they on spring break?
OSU? That's a good question. I don't know.
OSU is on spring break next week.
So we definitely probably should set it up.
I don't think that doesn't affect staff. So, like, Justin's not on spring break, and Jean's not on quote-unquote spring break. So actually,
they don't get off?
No. Actually, I'm looking at it. Spring break is actually the following week. Now that I'm looking at my calendar, Justin has it in here for the 22nd through the 26th. So I'm lying. Next week is finals. So finals usually go 15th, 16th, 17th. So the 18th would actually be sort of spring break because there aren't that many finals on the 18th. But no, only, you know, faculty would take the days off, but staff doesn't get breaks off unless they take them off. So.
All right, so we should be okay then.
Yeah, and I mean, if we reserve the spot and we don't use it, I don't think it's a big deal. So, I mean, we could probably just go ahead and reserve both spots, the 18th and the 25th.
Okay.
And just tell Jean what's going on. And if there's any problems with it, she can tell, you know, Harley, she can tell you.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's what I'll do. All right, I will set it up with Jean then, and I will touch base with you guys again on the 17th. Hopefully, you know, hopefully we'll already have some stuff up on the Google page. If not, then we'll postpone to the 25th. Does that sound good to everyone?
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. Well, for those of you that are on break, enjoy it. And I'll talk to you all soon.
Yeah.
All
right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
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 Thank you. Please stand by.